From the Middle is proud to be a founding member of the OddPods Media Network. Hello, everybody, and welcome. My name is Kendall, along with the brothers Corey and Dylan. We are three middle-class guys living in the middle of America, in the middle chapters of our lives, at the point of view that is somewhere in the middle. If this is your first or second go-around with us, we want to say welcome. Glad you're here. This week's episode, we're talking about Kendall's Nintendo Switch, a Corey and Kester squirrel story, cutesy talk at the drive-thrus. Corey and friends go to see Jim Gaffigan. Gaffigan? Not that one. Gaffigan. Photoshopping family photos. And we ask who's going to be our AARP spokespeople when we're old. All that and more coming up in the next hour on episode 128 of From the Middle. Samson, thank you for the music.
Oh, for the love.
Sorry, just clearing my Mountain Dew hole.
I got my phone hole cleaned today.
That's where you keep it?
You're so cerebral, and you're so developed and evolved.
Hello, everybody, and welcome. Here we are. Hi, guys.
Hey.
Hey, Kendall.
I feel good. I feel excited. We've had several weeks now of agenda-driven episodes, and this time we get to just chill and relax with each other. And there's something that I have been waiting to tell you guys because it excites me. I am back into the video gaming world.
Yes.
Welcome back.
Thank you. It's been a very long time. I think Xbox was my last iteration, like the original Xbox was my last console. And I now am the owner of a brand new Nintendo Switch OLED or OLED, however you say, I don't know how people are supposed to say that. I say OLED. Jumped onto that wagon, and here's a story about that, because I don't know if people generally speaking right now today, because I've had it now for over a month, and then when I was trying to order it, my wife and I were talking and decided to pull the trigger on the quote-unquote family Nintendo Switch. So for those of you who haven't been around for this discussion, recently purchased Nintendo Switch Lites for each of our boys, and now we have a family Switch set up in our family room with extra Joy-Cons and things, so we can play Mario Kart together and that sort of thing. But we can all still kind of branch off and do our own thing with the Switch Lites. I think it is a good situation for people who want to get into the Switch world. Switch Lites for individuals, and then a family Switch is a good idea. So we decided we were going to pull the trigger on this thing, and I've wanted a new console. I didn't care what it was for a long time. It feels a lot like the fishing story to me, that like it had been 8 years and I finally get the fishing license, get the kids ready to go, got all my stuff ready. And then it's like raining every weekend. And so we decide We're going to get the Switch, and I'm like, I'm going to play some first person shooters, and it's going to be so awesome. I'm going to go online right now and order the thing. Nope. You can't find one. Sorry. And so I don't know if it's still that way right now. It probably still is, because there's still ships stranded in the middle of the ocean, but I couldn't get my hands on one. And I'm following all these blogs trying to figure out how to get one. I'm refreshing like six different retail websites multiple times every day. I come across like these articles that are saying, oh, GameStop had them for about 15 minutes. If you missed out, you missed out. And I'm never the guy who ends up being able to get a hold of something in that situation. But there was one. It was on a Sunday morning, very early on a Sunday morning, and I'm going through my routine of checking all the retailers. Target's website shows me that I can order it. So I'm like, shoot. And I already have on all of these websites, I've already created accounts and I'm keeping them open on tabs on my phone. So I don't have to re-log into anything so that if one's available, I can, I've already rehearsed each of them, like this button, that button, and it's ordered.
Dude.
And so I order it really quick on Target. I get the confirmation email and then I immediately go back to Target's website again, out of stock already. Within a couple minutes of me ordering this thing, they were already out of stock. Ew. And every time that I have checked since then, which has been maybe once a week or so, just out of curiosity, like it's been out of stock everywhere still. So if you're looking for a Switch OLED, my recommendation to you is just try different websites many times a day.
Yeah.
And have everything ready to go. If I would have stopped and called my wife and been like, all right, is it still okay for me to pull the trigger or whatever? Like that wouldn't have been
enough time.
No time for that.
So we actually go ahead.
I was just going to say, I've been thinking the same thing about PS5s basically still aren't available after what, 2 years they've been out or whatever.
Yeah.
And I keep thinking if the NCAA football game had launched, I still wouldn't have been able to even buy a PS5 to go with it. I'd be probably sitting on a game cartridge or a game disc in a box, just like waiting for a PS5 to even be available because they still aren't. And it's not getting better. So here we are.
Here we are. And there's games that like I want to try that I can't get a hold of just yet. So
what are you playing now?
Metroid Dread, which did just come out.
Yeah.
And it's a wonder. I have spent a lot of time. That has been pretty much the only game I've played. I've played Mario Kart with the kids. I've played a little bit of Mario Odyssey with the kids. But me, myself, on my Switch, completely has just been Metroid Dread for over a month.
And how does it feel? How does it feel to be back into the world of gaming?
It feels good. It feels like I need to be careful.
This slope feels slippery, folks.
It sure does.
I have to give a little plug because I think between all of your family members, they'd like it. Animal Crossing just had a big expansion pack come out with a bunch of updates. And we've talked about it before on the podcast. A lot of fun. I'm loving the new expansion. And if you have like the family online pass or whatever, it also gives you access to a few games from like Sega Genesis era and Nintendo 64 era. Might be something you got to do. Might have to check it out.
Maybe. I let the cutesy games, I let the kids kind of drive what we're going to do with those. I'm not terribly interested in those kinds of games. Mario Odyssey, like I'll probably at some point like play through that just because like Metroid Dread is getting to a point now with me where I've solved the game several times, but you know, I'm trying to fill all of the reward slots like at the end. And so you get something different if you solve it on normal mode within 4 hours and that kind of thing. So like, I'm trying to hit those types of benchmarks.
You do have to be careful.
It's starting to get to the point now where it's like, I know I can do it, but holy cow. Like I'm trying to solve within 4 hours. And my last try was 4 hours, 7 minutes.
I didn't realize you were a completionist gamer. Like you had to do.
I'm a completionist. Oh yeah. So like if you find all the secret areas and that kind of thing, like that's a different reward that you get at the end. I am a completionist. Like my first run through, because I'm a completionist, was like 20 some odd hours. Trying to cut that down to 4. That's boring specific stuff about a game that none of you have played.
No, somebody out there has. We're just excited that you're excited about a game. I feel I think we can take just a modicum of responsibility. We have Kendall, you'll know Tim, our buddy Tim V, who's kind of a serious guy, not really into like the childish things like we are. I had talked about Warzone enough and told him it was cross-platform that he said, hey, man, so I downloaded that Warzone game. wow, that's really fun. And I'm like, I'm taking full responsibility for getting you back into gaming. And also, I'm sorry to your wife. No, he's not as hard into it as I am. But yeah, it's kind of fun to like to know that you had a small hand in encouraging folks to rediscover gaming.
Yeah.
So we're taking credit.
It's cool. I love it. I love it. It was a solution that honestly would be able to let us play with the kids video games. If I had my rathers, like it PS5 would be probably what I would go after. Just because like the first person shooter style of games is not Switch's strong suit.
Yeah.
By any stretch. But they do have good options.
Sure.
Enough that I'm cool with it. And it is also kind of nice that I can hang on to it and play it. And I don't have to worry about it being a scary game for the kids. Like,
yeah,
you can just tell them to go away if they're looking over my shoulder. So
that's awesome. I mean,
just the first few times though, like even somebody I had we had Game Boys, we had stuff on TV, but that first time you like pop the controllers and dock it and see something that started in your hands now up on your TV looking that good, it's impressive. It's not even that the console's graphics are like cutting edge. It's that Nintendo knows how to build games to still look good without the cutting edge graphics. And that's an impressive experience. I think one of the first games I had was Pokemon Let's Go or something. Mm-hmm. And seeing something that I had only ever seen on a screen this big, you know, inches across, now up on my television in full color, I was pretty stoked. And then popping it right back off and sitting on the couch because somebody wants to watch something else. You know, I think Nintendo really nailed it with this generation. I'm glad you're enjoying it. Did you feel the same way?
Yeah. Yeah. So I actually started the first time I started playing Dread by myself was while the kids were at school and I popped it on the TV and it was playing that way and thought, oh, that's amazing. And I hadn't really tried it yet, kind of just as a handheld. And then when I did try it as a handheld, I actually found myself preferring it. And so, I don't know. I've heard of people that just dock it and they leave it there and it never comes out. But for me, like the TV could be off and I'm sitting in the family room and I would prefer to be holding it for some reason.
Interesting.
I can't explain it.
Yeah. Cool, man. More power to you.
Yeah.
That's fun. Well, you mentioned at the top that it's been a few weeks since we've had pretty topically driven or guests. It's been, I think, almost even a month. And there's a texting conversation that I had with someone that I cannot wait to share with you guys. And I've kept it from you for this entire time because it's one of those things where a lot of comics will make jokes about like things when you're a parent, things that you never thought you'd have to say out loud. Like Ryan Regan's is, hey, buddy, don't balance your fruit juice between your chest and the table. Like things like that. I never thought those words would come out of my mouth. So loyal listeners will remember a guest we've had multiple times, Jeremy Kester. And Kester, I got his permission to share this story. He texts me on Sunday, September 16th at 7:01 p.m. And he says, okay, this is going to sound stupid, but don't laugh at me. My dog got a squirrel and it's suffering. I don't have a 22 here. Most humane kill method? He said, he's a big boy. His back is broken. And he's gasping a bit. So I'm just going to apologize now to PETA. Anybody who's a bit squeamish. And so if you don't feel like you can make it through the rest of this texting conversation, go ahead and bail now. So I said, grab his head and spin it around to break his neck. That's what I do with rabbits. Wear a work glove so he doesn't bite you. Grab the body with the other hand and spin it the opposite way. Let me know when it's finished.
Let me know when it's finished.
He said, full twist didn't take.
Lord.
1.5 rotation.
What?
No. And with 5 A's, that sucked. I said, sorry you had to do that. It's different when you're hunting. He said, yeah. Then I sent a GIF of a squirrel making an angry face and the word revenge in big red letters. He said, it's so situational. Like, there are situations for humans and animals, but the casual mercy, no benefit, killing, not sick. Thanks, bro. So I said, when you down a pheasant, you grab it by the head and you aggressively swirl him around. It's crazy. I said, a survivalist I watch almost completely rips the head off of fish after catching them, going from the bottom jaw back toward the dorsal fin, hinging just behind the top of the head. I've never seen that technique before. Also, I guess you could have guillotined his head off with a shovel. He said, yeah, I suppose. I was expecting a pop, not a bubble wrap twirl. Oh, to be a man, he said. And then I ended it with eesh. Oh, I just, this situation and imagining him.
A bubble wrap twirl.
Oh, man. One of those things where you're just like, things you never thought you'd be texting somebody about. But in a way, I'm kind of honored that he went to me. By the way.
My gut instinct was shovel to the neck. Honestly. Like, it felt like, you know, sharp edge, small animal. That felt like lots of force.
But if they're moving around a lot and there's no way to keep them in one area, that could get messier. But
My first thought was like, you just got to like get something heavy and blunt and smack it on its head until you knock it out and then deal with it.
Cinder block laying around. Yeah.
Hey.
Have you ever seen that, Kendall, by the way? So I've been watching a lot of Fowler's Makery and Mischief on YouTube. Fowler was the alone. The longest guy to survive alone, where you take like a bass and you grab under the gills.
Okay.
And you just pull so that right where the gills come down to its belly, that part comes off. So you bend the head all the way back to the back. And that's how he just dispatches them after he's caught them and he plans on keeping it. I've never seen that.
I've never seen that before either. Did he not use a knife? Like, it was just that he caught it and just does this thing with his hands.
Yep. Like, so if the fish is going this way, he gets under there with two fingers, and he just goes like this, so that the bottom jaw just hinges back. And
it makes sense. I mean, if you want to be humane about it, if you're going to keep a fish, like, you don't really want to string them or anything like that. It's best to kill the fish, bleed the fish.
Yeah.
Some fish you don't have to worry so much about bleeding them. And then keep the fish cold. Like, those are the three things you want to do. And when you're bleeding the fish, like, it's the gills that you're cutting.
Yeah.
You cut the gills and then they pump blood out through the gills.
Yeah.
If you're not going to use a knife, and maybe it is, and it's quicker to use your bare hands, I suppose you just like grab them and rip them.
Yeah, that's what he does. He's like
that.
Oh, that's
that
a
takes
keeper.
That takes care Over. Of killing. That takes care of killing the fish. Takes care of bleeding the fish.
Yep.
So
I had never seen that, and to be on YouTube just watching his survival videos, it's a little surprising at first. You're like, oh, he just did that. Okay.
That's
anyway. Jeremy, yeah, thanks fun. For the laugh, and also I'm very sorry that you had to do that, but I appreciate your desire to end it suffering.
I had to. Have I told you guys about the mouse that I caught that didn't die?
No.
Okay. So the kids were littler than they were now, but they were big enough that they could like sneak up on me in the morning. And I had set mouse traps out, and I got up before they did so that they don't find the mouse traps. Caught a mouse, apparently relatively recently, and a standard snapping mouse trap, right? And this mouse was not dead. but it's morning and I don't want my kids to be coming downstairs and finding this dead mouse. And so like I put it in a plastic shopping bag, take it out to the garage and just like grab a hammer and start swinging it at this mouse until the bag's not moving anymore, and threw it away.
See, that's what Kester should have done. Just hammer in a bag.
Two words, hammer, bag.
Hammer in a bag.
Oh, hammer, man.
What are we going to name? I have to add, I forgot. My wife had a joke. Not about squirrels. It's about my Switch. When I was asking her if I should talk about how I got the Switch or whatever. Or no, I was telling her on that Sunday that like, I'm never the one who's able to get these things. And I got like, it showed up, there was one and I jumped on it. She wanted me to be very clear on the podcast that this wasn't like a special handicap version of a Switch OLED. That this is a regular standard issue one. I don't have to return it. It's not like the Joy-Cons don't like Velcro on to the screen or anything like that.
It's not an OSHA model or anything. So, this isn't
right. Yeah. If there's a special Olympics for professional gaming, like this would not work.
Thanks for that, Amy. 2 points. One. And I'm being 100% serious. Have you seen the paralyzed gamers that play like Warzone? They have like special straws that they blow air into on the controller, and they would beat you in a 1v1 match all day long. They're like, wow. Amazing to watch.
I did not know that was a thing.
It's legit. Like there's a couple really famous guys on Twitch that they can only use their head to move around and blow in different straws. And even like pressure sensitively, like based on like how much they pull the trigger or run, yeah, or sprint or whatever. It's super impressive. Somebody else who's been on the show, Harley, he finally gave me the lowdown on how to get J's, man. I know the deal now. I know how to do it. You got to get the Nike sneakers app. And there's a whole rhyme and reason to how you do it. Yeah, because remember, I thought like I was just like you. I was like, I got to go on Nike's website. They launch the shoes at 10 a.m. You got to hit refresh, 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 refresh. Nah, man, there's a whole Nike sneakers app. It's the way to go. Harley told me what's up. And it learns an algorithm and puts your name in a virtual hat, sort of. But based on how many purchases you've made or how many shoes, you just say notify me if you're interested in that pair of sneakers. The more you click notify me on, the better your chances of actually getting a pair. And then it says, hey, your name has been drawn. Do you want them or not? And then you either buy or you don't buy with your pre-entered credit card information in there. And you get them at the regular retail price. Nike sneakers app. Now, I did also get a pair of Jordans that are not for the handicapped. I didn't go through the Nike sneakers app. I did go through one of the resellers, but I got some fresh J's. I'm excited to show you guys next time we're in person.
Nice.
Anyway, that's funny. Glad you got your Switch, man. Dylan, what's up, man? With you, man?
Man, I have a story. It's not that funny of a story, but I want to get your thoughts on it because it just struck me as mildly interesting. And we know that all the listeners come here for mildly interesting. So let's talk about that. Here's the short version. My wife and I are in the car. We're going through a drive-through at a coffee shop, a local coffee shop. It's not a national chain or anything. And it's really small, and they're paving one side of their drive-through where you would normally like go around and pick up. So what they're having you do is order, drive straight, and they happen to be backed up right to a storage facility, like storage units. So you can just drive up, order, pay, pull forward, they bring it out to you, and then you just keep driving, and you can go through these storage units and exit out the other side. Anyways. So we're sitting in line, we're trying to see the menu. they're telling people to pull ahead. And the person that's like, is like walking out to the cars to like confirm orders and like give people instructions. Hey, can you pull forward? And she's calling everyone baby. Hey, baby, can you move your car? Now, this is multiple cars in the row. So I'm thinking it's smallish town. I mean, this isn't the middle of Columbus. So like maybe she knows these people or whatever. And so I pull up. We place our order with somebody different. We pull ahead like we're supposed to. Yeah. And she has a question about our order, apparently. So she comes out and she's, you know, she's doing the sort of like a, hey, baby, you can move your car up here. And, you know, so anyways, I now know that this isn't just somebody she knows. And I feel like normally age is irrelevant to story, but this is not an older person. Like you might think, is this like an old server in a cafe? Who's like, right, you know, the roadside diner, and they're calling everyone honey or sweetie. Yeah. It's likely our age. So 30s, 40 year old person that's doing this. And so I just didn't know. First of all, my first point is it's not a big deal. We got our coffee. The coffee was great. It's fine. But I just feel like there's certain things that you can say that don't seemingly define who you are as a person. And then there are some things like she becomes the baby person. I feel like this is a defining personality trait when you're calling everyone baby. If you go to a diner and somebody says, hun, that doesn't define you and your personality. Right. When we're the same age and you're calling me baby, I feel like that's a little personality.
It's a little different. It is different for sure.
So my question is, if you saw somebody essentially as your peer, that's the only reason the age part matters. Essentially, right, your peer calling you baby, is that off-putting to you? Are you like, oh, that's the baby person?
Off-putting, it wouldn't quite be the word. I would recognize that as odd, but I don't think I would think about it much more than that. Now, when it is like a older person, say like my parents' age-ish or so, because there's a lady at our local Taco Bell who is there in the mornings, and if you go there for like an early lunch or something, you get her. And she just like would, every time I go through and I get her, like she lights up my day. Mm-hmm. Like she's just so like all the huns and sweeties like come out of her mouth. And it's just so delightful to have such a cheery experience through a drive-through that I love doing it. So there's that, but she's like, you know, my parents' age.
Do you ever go to this
McDonald's? Like not only do I look past, but I enjoy it.
Do you ever go to the McDonald's by me?
Sometimes, me? Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lady there that does the same thing. She's our parents' age or older, and she's honey, sweetie, sugar. I don't really think anything of that. That feels warm and Southern, and I'm good with it. Somebody just did it to me at UDF that's my age or younger, and I just thought, this person has resigned to her new station in life that she's just starting it early. Like, yeah, she's like, this is where I'm going to be, that lady at McDonald's, just the UDF version. So I'm just going to start now. That's how I did notice it, but it wasn't at all like unsettling or anything. It was just like, and I'm not trying to be classist or anything like that, but there are certain people who like, they're perfectly content with that career and that they're planning on staying. So I'm like, I think that's what she's done.
I think what stood out to me is I don't think in our part of the country, people that are generally your age peers calling you baby is not normal. And that was the first thing that stood out to me.
Is it baby specifically, that word?
Baby specifically. If it if we do a stereotypical server at the roadside diner in the movie with the, you pull up and dust furls up underneath the tires and they go in for coffee and pie and it's like, what do you have, hon? I think everyone expects that character. Like, that's a movie character and you expect it. It was this person was in yoga pants and a t-shirt tucked in and like tennis shoes and the hair up like a college student bun, like just like I'm throwing it up to go to class because it's a 7 a.m. 7:30 class and like looked my ish age calling me baby. I think that's what it was. It was the baby per age ratio was off.
I think it's just that. I think it's, for me, it's strictly the age thing, the peer age thing that you talked about would be the thing that makes me think twice about it. Setting, I don't think matters. It's just like you said, at a diner, I would expect it probably. At a Taco Bell or at a coffee shop, like I'm pleasantly surprised by it, but only if they're like my parents' age.
Yeah,
if they're my age, I don't think I carry a negative connotation with it. I just think that the cozy warmness that I felt from the older person doing it is missing.
And I think so. The second part of the question, I think the more abnormal it seems, the more personality defining it feels. If I saw her again in public, I might steer clear because I'm going, I don't want the baby. I don't, if that's a thing, I don't. Now I've been called.
She ain't working for tips at the Walmart.
I've been called sweetie by people younger than me at a drive-thru. And that one feels a little off too. But I think baby has such a, it's not harsh when you're talking about a literal baby, but it has such a harsher, it's so dissonant. It feels so off. It
baby does so seem odd. A little bit more exclusive to like significant other talk.
I don't know. It was a little bizarre. And so again, I know people come here for the mildly interesting, and I just felt like it was worth discussing.
I feel like we're more Seinfeld tonight than we have been in a really long time.
It's a little personality defining, and I'm not here for it. I'll just say. And the problem is now everyone who listens that knows me well enough is going to start calling me baby. And I don't care for that either. All right.
You brought that upon me. Yeah.
You want to use hun with a cup of coffee and a piece of pie? I'm for it. I'm here for it. But I don't know about the baby thing. I don't know.
That's funny. Well, more from us yahoos after we hear a quick word from one of our friends in the Odd Pods Media Network.
I'm Midnight Agent Raw.
And I'm Okami.
We are the Super Media Bros Podcast.
And each week, we give a comedic take on all forms of entertainment, such as
movies,
music,
video games,
television,
and much more. So put your shades on and listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Shades on.
We're on.
And we're back with this back half of From the Middle, episode 128. I think that's where we are. I just want to do a really quick shout out to Kelly Casto, our friend and owner over at Bedlam Bricks in Worthington. It is a Lego reseller. He just started, really excited for him. When I first had gone in there, he had mentioned that he was wanting to do this. He just started his very own podcast with a friend. Called The Unofficial Trek. It's a Star Trek podcast, and we're really excited for him. He had done a little promo for us in our episode with Wes from last week, and had posted that to his page, and so we thought that's the least we could do. So if you're a Star Trek fan, definitely go check out The Unofficial Trek, and thanks again, Kelly, for the plug on our Wes episode. That was a lot of fun. If you missed it, Wes is a design master over at the Lego Group and gave us a lot of really cool behind the scenes info about what it's like to work at Lego HQ in Billund, Denmark. So, yeah.
Also, worth following his Facebook page for Bedlam Bricks. And if you happen to be in the Columbus, Ohio area or shopping, go check it out. a lot of times kids are super into minifigs and parents will spend $60 on a set because the kid wants like one minifig and they have a lot of individual minifigs for sale that you can go snag among lots of other sets. So I've been there. My wife and I have been in there with our daughter. We've shopped and bought stuff and it's a very cool store. So definitely go check it out.
Shout out to Bedlam Bricks. Shout out to the Unofficial Trek. And yeah, that's good stuff. So I got to go see Jim Gaffigan last night at Nationwide Arena. Yeah. So Sherry and I went. Yeah. Sherry and I went with some friends and family and had really good seats. And they did, the stage was in the center of the arena as opposed to having it off to one short side. And we've heard comics talk before, I have in a lot of the podcasts and things that I listen to following stand up, how different that format is because. You know, especially if you're a physical comic and you like to do a certain body motion, think Sebastian Maniscalco or other really physical comics. Jim Gaffigan isn't as physical, but of course, if you want to make a funny face on a punchline or something, you have to be cognizant of the fact that you always got your back to somebody. So it was kind of different, but the cameras do such a good job of somebody's always zoomed in on his face, which is showed on screens above him. That even if his back is to you, you're always seeing his facial expression. So it was a really good set. His opener was a guy that I've never heard of before, and I am now following on social, Ted Alexandro. He's a 52-year-old father of two who had a lot of really funny older dad of young kids jokes and just getting older and sort of some of those you know, typical topics for a guy in middle age. Was really, really good and did a stellar job warming up the crowd. But it was a lot of fun to just go out and see a stand-up show safely with masks on, of course. But yeah, I've always wanted to see Gaffigan live and it was a ton of fun. So.
Great. Did you get popcorn?
I did not. But I heard...
My wife and I, a few days ago, we finished up season two of Ted Lasso. And while we were doing so, we decided to try the Skittles and popcorn thing that Corey and Sherry enjoyed to recommend to the whole wide world. And
I don't think this is going in a good direction.
No, it's fine. It's fine. And so we made them. We made it, whatever. It was good. It was good. I the thing is, I like popcorn. And the weird thing about me is I love movie style popcorn, but I also love the like dry, salty stuff you get at a concession stand. So like popcorn is one of my picks at a baseball game.
Sure.
Or whatever. And I've spent some time to the surprise of few who know me. Like I decided at one point I was going to try to figure out how to make that at home. And I figured out like there's a special seasoning that like you can only get through. Well, you can get it on Amazon now, but through like warehouse reelers and that kind of thing. So you had to have like the right stuff. And it's called Flavicol. That's the stuff that movie theaters use and that concession stands use. If you don't have that, you're not going to mimic the flavor. But anyway, so I like popcorn as it is enough. Like I don't need to do anything to it. We put the Skittles on. It was good. It was good. My wife enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. Thank you for the recommendation. I will probably do it sometimes. So it's not like I'll never do it again. But I'll do it sometimes. What it reminds me of is if sometimes at the fair or places like that, they'll have like the kettle corn guy.
Yeah.
A lot of times the kettle corn guy has fruit flavored popcorn and it tastes just like that.
Yeah. So. I sometimes get a tinge of Fruit Loops when I'm doing it because like some cereals, they have like a little bit of saltiness to their sweet. And so it kind of feels like I get a little tinge of Fruit Loops every once in a while, but thank you for trying. I'm glad you, I'm glad it was good and something to consider for the future.
Hey, I will recommend that people try it. It is definitely worth trying and doing. You get like even like that popcorn ball sugary kind of chew kind of thing. Like the Skittles do that for you while the popcorn's in there. So it does, I feel like it does kind of play this little trick in your brain if you've eaten that kind of thing before, that you put a Skittle and some popcorn in your mouth and you start chewing it, all mixes together, and like I feel like I'm eating a popcorn ball.
There you go.
Only fun my times. Hands aren't as sticky.
Well, before we get it too far away from silly faces and physical comedy, I have to ask, something that we did recently were family photos. Have you guys done like the official, you hire a photographer, you go, have you done that recently? I mean, everyone's done it before in their life, but like there are a few better reasons to completely deck yourself out in denim than, you know, family photos. Nothing feels more uncomfortable, unnatural, I think is the right word, than family photos. I just, this experience, let me paint a picture for anyone who's listened long enough. They're going to instantly know why unnatural feels most appropriate. I'm in a field behind an abandoned barn, walking through grass outside, getting my picture taken. And my wife and I are swinging our daughter in our hands through tall grass in like mud. And so I guess there's a part of me that like, I understand me slouched over on the couch holding a game controller isn't probably a good position for a family photo. Right. But like it's like, this is a situation I've never been in that you're capturing. And it's like there's sometimes I guess here's what I'm saying. I don't have a solution, but if you're a photographer or a momtographer or a dadtographer or all those people who, you know, take photos with your iPhone and filters on Instagram, maybe find out what more natural poses and locations are based on the couple so that it doesn't feel so forced and unnatural. It just feels like it's ripe for like a, hey, maybe this family doesn't hang out by abandoned barns. Maybe there's a better spot to shoot these. So I don't know.
I love you. But the minute you started with, I'm in a field, I already started laughing because the situations that you'll find my brother in a field are if they rush the field after an Ohio State football game and that's it ever.
Are we at a Renaissance festival? Are there s'mores nearby? Am I going to get lots of hot dogs? Those are situations that would be realistic for me to be in that place. I don't know. I'm with you.
I think there's like the jokey version, the comical version of family photos.
Right.
Where you go really far the other way, where there's a new baby and the mom's hair is all disheveled. You're trying to do that to be funny, to make the joke, to pick fun at family photos. There's got to be a photographer who could find a whole lane doing something in between the super staged swinging your child through a field of tall grass and that we're trying to be funny and make a joke. There's got to be something in the middle of like,
I don't know what that is.
What does your real life look like? Don't worry about matchy outfits. I see moms, people I know, who painstakingly go through the trouble of buying and combining these perfect outfits for a photo that it does. It looks beautiful, but it's such a unrealistic depiction of who we know you to be. So I think whoever figures out whatever that, and maybe it already exists and there's a website and people who know photography will tell me it's already out there. I just think that there's got to be a much more inviting and realistic way to capture your beautiful family in a way that doesn't drive you crazy or project that you're like this cookie cutter, awesome, perfect, amazing family.
You know, we've gotten family photos taken on several different occasions in different ways. And we certainly have had that experience of like, you know, we're going to buy a bunch of mums for the fall, put some pumpkins in front of you. And we all dressed up in color coordinated. And then like, I'm sitting there and I'm being told how to hold my arm right. Right. And that's just so uncomfortable and weird. And some of my favorite pictures were taken by a newer photographer. If you were here, they were some of my favorite. Christy Playford is her name. And like, we were at the church. She met us there, like in the nursery of the church, which the nursery at the church building is actually pretty nicely decorated. And that's where she did our little photo shoot. And we did one with us just kind of sitting on the couch with the kids. I think Isaac was 2, the twins were 1. And then she spent some time just like playing with our kids and taking pictures of them as she was doing it. Like in the nursery that the kids are already comfortable with. And there's like a goofy picture of Lydia, 1-year-old, like popping her head out of a basket that she was barely small enough to fit in and that kind of thing. And they are fantastic photos. And some of my favorites of all time of our family are just those. So that approach that she had, like we were in a space that we were familiar with. And she took the time to take some relatively candid, kind of staged-ish candid photos. Like she was just playing with our kids and then taking photos when she thought appropriate. She was having us play with our kids and she was just kind of in the room there to take photos when she saw something.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
Okay. One more quick one on the photos thing, not about family photos, topically adjacent. Technology gives us, you'll see like a commercial and it's like, you know, somebody took 4 or 5 different photos. There's of a touristy location and there's tourists in the background and like your phone will automatically like wipe those people out that aren't the subjects that you want. Most people are going to hear what I'm about to say and go, who cares? But here's my question. Does the fact that, or like take these 3 or 4 photos and like this person's smiling in photo 1, this person's smiling in photo 4, this person's smiling in photo 8. We're going to mesh them all together. So it wipes out things from photos that don't exist, or it pulls in the best versions of similar photos. Does it bother you that that moment never actually existed when they're talking about that from a technology standpoint? It feels like a jarring, like you're pitching me on a moment that never existed in time. And I almost feel like to not have a perfect photo is better than to create a photo that, I'm not going down the Photoshop point of view right now, because that's a whole other. I'm just saying specifically when technology is wiping out things, completely wiping them out, or merging all of this stuff to create a family photo or portrait or something that never actually happened.
I'm with you, I think. Like,
does it feel bizarre? A little bizarre.
It does. Now, I just got done saying that some of these photos I was talking about are some of my favorites. But to tell you the truth, like, it's my wife's family who is all about making sure like there's always recent family photos, and I'm okay with it. I understand it. I get it. But if I had my rathers, like for me, a lot of times it just feels like this is a waste of time. Like the whole family's together. We could be doing something better. And I mean, my memory, it works. Like let's fill that with things. I don't know. I don't feel the need for pictures really. I'm odd in that way. A lot of people love taking pictures of their kids. They throw them all over social media. I'm just not about that.
Yeah, I don't want to get too deep about it, but I'm kind of with you, Dylan. It's like that moment never really happened, but it is kind of the Photoshop thing. Like what's behind your desire to airbrush out that one blemish in your skin? Like what's behind the desire to like have this perfect representation that wasn't actual? And it's like it feels a little false, like, but I don't know. How much do you pick that apart?
Yeah, this can go real deep if we wanted to. In this end of the episode, there's a part of me that thinks, in, you know, 20 years ago, you took the photo at the Grand Canyon and Jimmy was being a jerk at the end of the photo and made a silly face, but you kind of laugh about it 20 years later, right? Like, because that's who Jimmy really was. And now you're just creating photos that not only never existed, but like doesn't give you any real, I don't know. It's a whole thing. I just, again, I know that the response to this for most people is going to be, who cares? Just let people enjoy the things that they enjoy. And you're right. But I just,
we wouldn't have a podcast if we did that. Yeah.
While you were talking, I pulled this up. So today did this article about like beauty in the chaos. See what happens when families get real. And I'm looking at this, and this is the first example of what I was talking about. It's not real either. You're going the other, right. You're going right. The other way. Yes, life does look like that sometimes, but that's just as staged as Dylan swinging Finley through tall grass.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Like clearly dad loves football and is an alcoholic and can't pay attention to his children. That's so funny. I know it's
just, like this one, like we're asleep and a kid's drinking like wine out of mom's wine glass. This one, the kid's screaming in the, that's just as staged. And you chose your outfits for that one just as much as you would have. Oh, look at the kids being bad in the restaurant. Get off the,
geez.
You know what I mean? Like there's gotta be something between the two. Oh, wow. Okay. Maybe we should. Anyway, <we're> gonna...
Yeah. Anyways, let's know what you mean.
If anyone has any feedback for us, that's let us direct message, email, voicemail, let us know. That's it.
Hey, yeah. At the end of the day, live and let live.
Yeah, sure.
But
we're nitpicking for fun.
Yeah. These are just why we do or don't do what we do or don't do.
That's right.
That's all. That's all it is.
It makes for fun discussion.
Because there's reasons. I have a discussion question that might be a relatively quick one. I was thinking while I was watching TV, Jeopardy, nothing like watching Jeopardy to get you into what the current Medicare spokespeople are.
Who's the new host, by the way? Do they have that person figured out?
No, they're still working on it. I mean, it's Maim and Ken or Jennings. Maim Malik and Ken Jennings are kind of swapping in and out, and I guess they're going to be doing that for the rest of the year, and they're going to decide later. They kicked the can.
I thought Jennings got canceled because he tweeted something bad 10 years ago.
No, that wasn't Jennings. That was the guy. That was a previous guy.
Okay.
They did land on a guy who was not Ken Jennings to be the host. And then, yeah, he got canceled. It got me thinking. So that was George Foreman was who I saw on a Medicare commercial. But you've got the Medicare commercials and the AARP commercials and all of the like reverse mortgage commercials. You know, they got the Fonz on there telling you about reverse mortgages and things like that. And I thought crossed my mind today when we're, you know, 80 years old, who are going to be our spokespeople? Who's going to be selling us on AARP?
Mm-hmm.
What current peer-aged folks are we going to see in those commercials?
So what's the criteria currently for the people that they're promoting to now? Is it people that were cool, like the Fonz, people that were cool and hip, so we can trust them in their old age because we're associating them with cool and hipness, so they know
what. Yeah, so people like George Foreman and Henry Winkler were people that were famous, like back when they were like the target market for all of the marketing agencies, which I feel like is us now. We might even be a little older than that now, but we're still right around that age of being like the big target market.
So it's somebody that's in our generation.
Yeah.
That's cool or has achieved something impressive. They're still going to have to be relatively good looking.
Yeah.
In their old age.
So, I mean, are we expecting to see, like, you know, is Kanye gonna be selling us on reverse mortgages someday? We're gonna see him on those commercials.
I think they've got to go for kind faces, right? Like popular, sure. But also you think really, I could see, you know, like Anne Hathaway being one of those. They pull in Anne Hathaway or Paul Rudd
would be
Chris Evans. We're all going to be like, that was Captain America. If he tells me to get Medicare Part B and D and C, then I'll do it. you know?
I think he's the perfect one. Chris, he's already like, yeah, they've already got the, like those Captain America kid videos, right? The, I tried to mimic one time and it flopped.
I'm trying to look at more. I mean,
somebody like, Zach Galifianakis should be the new diabetes guy.
There's got to be more.
I think the Rock has to push his way in there somehow. He gets into everything.
Whatever the spiciest commercials are, that'll be Ryan Reynolds.
Okay.
Yeah. So whatever would be the most, you know, that they could throw in the most kind of sarcastic humor. I'm gonna take Ryan Reynolds with me too.
Oh, that's funny. That's a good question. I need to chew on that a little longer with my dentures. Yeah. Speaking of movies, should we do a quick rundown? It's been like a month. We probably got a bunch of shows and movies that we could recommend or not recommend. I'll start. So, were either of you Sopranos viewers? Did either of you watch The Sopranos?
No.
Okay, well, HBO Max right now has a movie called The Many Saints of Newark, which is sort of a prequel film to The Sopranos show. So it's young Anthony Soprano growing up in Newark. The story is really about his uncle, Dickie Moltisanti, who was a big influence over him and would eventually shape his interest in the mob. Most interesting about the show, though, is James Gandolfini, who played Anthony Soprano in The Sopranos. It's his real life son, Michael, who's playing the young version of him. So that's actually really cool to watch. The movie's not that great. it's good if you're a Sopranos fan. It probably won't be if you never watched The Sopranos. If you did, obviously it's crazy how much Michael Gandolfini looks like his dad. So that's just cool to watch. But the show's not really about Tony. It's more about his uncle and how these families form together. But it is cool to see some of Tony's lieutenants from The Sopranos as younger versions. And the actors that they got to play the young versions, the likenesses are uncanny. So I watched that one. I wanted to watch the new Dune. But before I watched the new Dune, I wanted to watch the one from 1984. And then I learned this whole backstory about this guy who actually tried to make one prior to the 84 version. So the 84 one was like weird, even for 80s sci-fi. But the new one is, I was hearing words thrown around like masterpiece. And like, I was like, I've got to check this out. I'm stealing this joke from Chris D'Elia, but he says like, there are so many shots in the new Dune that look like an advertisement for like a cologne or a fragrance. Like the people are just so beautiful. The wind is blowing this amazing looking costume. They turn around slowly. It's like muted colors and you're waiting on them to say something like Sandstorm by Chanel. It's just, it is beautiful. Really, really well done. And I found it interesting that they took the 1984 version and are splitting it in two. So if you expect the new Dune to nicely wrap up, don't, because it's only like half. It's like what they did with the last Harry Potter. They took the last book and made it two films. They took this one book. Well, it's a series of books, but anyway, they broke it into two. So you're only getting the first installment with the new Dune. And then the last one I watched, there isn't a last one. What do you guys have?
Well, I just watched, Corey, I told you, and we've already talked about it on the podcast, but I'll mention it. Shang-Chi has finally hit Disney Plus.
Oh,
with Disney Plus Day. And with Disney Plus Day, there was some other, Jungle Cruise got added, yeah, and season two of Jeff Goldblum's show. But with Disney Plus Day, they also announced a bunch of future shows. And then there's stuff in theaters that I haven't gone to see because I want to see Eternals and I want to see Ghostbusters and Spider-Man. The third Spider-Man has got like a mid-December release date. And then there was a trailer for the Obi-Wan series, which comes out next year. And Ewan McGregor's in it and the director, Deborah Chow. And it's like not a trailer, it's like a teaser, but they're like talking about how Hayden Christensen came back as Darth Vader and they might get another, you know, potential stab at each other in the show, which is like crazy exciting. And so not a ton that I've seen recently, although I did watch Shang-Chi again, like immediately, but lots coming between theaters and streaming, which is crazy exciting. So if you haven't watched Shang-Chi yet, Do it when you can turn it up, because it's got a really great like hip hop soundtrack. And if you've got speakers or like nice headphones that you can watch it with and turn it up on top of the martial arts sequences, really, really great for the background music and soundtrack. So that was a ton of fun to watch again.
Fantastic. Well, I have been doing a lot of taking your guys' advice, and I have finished the first season of Only Murders in the Building, and my wife and I together finished the second season of Ted Lasso, both highly recommended. Yeah. We've talked a lot about Ted Lasso. Only Murders in the Building is also fantastic. If you're a Steve Martin, Martin Short kind of person, definitely watch it. But it's even at that, I would say it's not quite as slapstick as what I normally would associate with those two. So even if you find them off-putting, it still might work for you. It's just a solid comedy, in my opinion. And then I started, it just came out this past Friday on Apple TV, The Shrink Next Door with Will Ferrell and Paul Rudd.
I just saw that trailer. How far in are you?
So they only drop three episodes, and then they're doing new episodes every Friday.
Okay.
So trailer, I've watched all three.
From the trailer, it looks like it starts real silly and kind of goofy. And then as the trailer, I mean, it's only 90 seconds long or whatever. Yeah. It starts to get pretty dark and like more drama dark. So
don't think comedy. Like, I know Will Ferrell and Paul Rudd, and there is certainly some comedy in there. But it's definitely Will Ferrell doing something different in this one.
Yeah.
It is very much a drama. There is some comedy, but it's not like in your face slapstick, we're going to try to make you laugh kind of comedy. But some comedy slips into this dark drama. Or what I'm assuming is going to be, it feels like a dark drama. It's not that yet with these three episodes. But I feel like that's where it's going.
Yeah, I out loud, I was in the bedroom by myself watching that trailer, and I out loud went, ooh, that's going to be interesting. And there was nobody around.
It is.
It looks real, real different.
I feel like it's almost becoming cliche at this point for Hollywood to do two things. One is take like comedy actors and put them into a thing that like you would never expect them to do. So that's one thing that this does. It checks that box. Another kind of becoming cliche box is it's putting it in a different like time frame, like injecting something into the 80s, and they're going over the top, making sure that you know it's 80s with the square aviator glasses and things like that. And the afros and stuff. But I don't care. I feel like they're both of those things are being accomplished well, and I appreciate it.
What are some of you guys's, and I'm really glad you liked Only Murderers in the Building, by the way. Before my question, did you like sort of watching along and making guesses between you and Amy?
Oh yeah.
Of who you thought who done it?
So Amy had already seen it.
Oh, okay.
Amy is a big podcast nerd. Shrink Next Door is based off of a podcast, which is based off of real events. And she's familiar with the podcast. So she already knows the story, which is why I'm watching it by myself. But Only Murders in the Building, like she finished that a while ago.
Okay.
And so it's kind of like me just like kind of like telling her what my thoughts and ideas are, but I don't want her to respond.
Yeah. And she'll just go, like, okay. Okay.
But it's like, if I'm right, like I want someone to know that I was right.
So what are some of you guys' favorite examples of comic typically comedic actors doing a serious film. The first couple that come to my mind while you think are Jim Carrey in Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind and Robin Williams in 1 Hour Photo. Do you have any favorite, like some of your favorite comedic actors in something serious? Will Ferrell also did the one about depression.
Everything Must Go.
Everything Must Go. Yeah.
That was one of my favorites. Everything Must Go was really good. That's the Will Ferrell movie. And if for anyone who's not seen it, basically the show starts with him getting canned and his wife kicking him out of the house. And he's so distraught, he just starts living on his front yard. And because that's where all his wife has put all his stuff, and he just doesn't care to leave. And he befriends this kind of neighborhood kid who rides his bike around, just, you know, literally by proximity because they're both on the same street. And there's some comedic moments, but it is definitely not a comedy. I really, really enjoyed it. Trying to think of another one. It's not so much of my favorite ones. I'm just thinking of different ones over time that I've enjoyed. Spanglish with Adam Sandler. Was definitely not a comedy. Man, I'm sure there's some really good ones that I'm not thinking of at the moment.
Well, you mentioned Robin Williams, and I'm just like, ever since I was a teenager, one of my favorite movies of all time has been Dead Poets Society.
Yeah. Good Will Hunting also. It's a serious role for him. I'm just did a quick Google search to an insider article. So there's Bill Murray in Lost in Translation. It mentions the Jim Carrey in Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
He's been in a handful too. He was in The Number 23. Cable Guy wasn't really comedic.
Oh, that's actually a good one. That's a good example. Will Ferrell in Stranger Than Fiction.
Yep.
Steve Coogan in Philomena. I really liked Philomena. Wow, that was good. This one says Jennifer Aniston. Oh, Steve Carell in Foxcatcher. Wow.
Oh, and then him, the same with the Marwin.
Welcome to Marwin.
Welcome to Marwin with Steve Carell. But he's done a lot of drama now that, I mean, he was Michael Scott. So everyone associates him with comedy, but was the boxing movie the one that you just mentioned? Didn't he do a boxing movie or something?
Yeah.
I don't know. He's done a bunch of drama now.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. That's fascinating. Little quick deep dive.
Yeah.
Well, anything else, guys? Are we good to wrap this one on up? This has been a fun catch up episode.
Word up.
All right. Well, before we close things down, just one more time, we've mentioned it the last few weeks. Please continue to support Backroom Coffee Roasters. Our friend Trent, as we've mentioned now 2 weeks in a row, it was in a serious motorcycle accident. He's fine now. He's at home, but he's got a bunch of medical bills ahead of him, and he's a small business owner. So if you support Backroom Coffee Roasters, that's www.backroomcoffeeroasters.com. And they just launched their first ever chocolate bar. It is dark Swiss chocolate with bits of coffee ground into the chocolate, and you can get them now. There's a really cool post on their social media channel that shows how they made the chocolate from a local chocolatier. So try to get yourself a coffee-infused chocolate bar that they named the Biker Bar, because their most popular blend of coffee is their biker blend. So it's called the Biker Bar. So they are at Backroom Coffee on Instagram. You can see pictures of how the chocolate bars were made. Be sure to grab one of those. Thank you, as always, to both Artius Man and our friends at Stello Mints. Artius Man, amazing men's grooming products and beard care products. ArtiusMan.com, promo code THEMIDDLE at checkout to get 25% off your first order. And Stello Mints, amazing CBD mints, perfectly legal, awesome little tin that you can take anywhere. Three awesome flavors. StelloMints.com, promo code THEMIDDLE at checkout to get 10% off all orders. We really appreciate partnering with you guys. We love your products. We actually believe in them. It means a lot. And I think that's it. See you next Wednesday.